Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
This hour of the program brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country 2 minutes at a time for the biggest stories of the day, where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
Second half of the program begins right now. We're live at Big O Tires in Lee Summit, 1125 Southwest Oldham Parkway. It's basically the outer road on 50 Highway, just here at about 50 Highway and 3rd Street. Right now, Big O Tires is rolling out some Black Friday deals early, now through December 8th. You can take advantage of some great savings on oil changes, brakes, car batteries, and more. Buy three select tires, get one free with paid installation. Including brands like Nitto and Cooper. Interest-free financing is available as well for approved credit. You can find your nearest location at BigOTires.com. Plus, we're registering right over by our Good Sense subs, which have been a big hit today, along with all the cookies. You can register for the Ultimate Tailgate Package. It includes tickets to our local pro team. You know who I'm talking about. A new grill, a $100 gift card to do some grocery shopping with, and a night stay at the Embassy Suites. They'll also give you oil changes and alignment for a year from Big O Tires. All you got to do is swing on by Big O Tires here in Lee Summit, like this gentleman did. What a class act stopping by here in Lee Summit. Let's get the drill started right now. We start in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Matthew Caller, score 1500, is up first. Matthew, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. I ate a lot of barbecue in Kansas City, and just my luck, it figures Mahomes comes back the week after I'm there.
Yeah, it does. And the Chiefs very thrilled to get a win without him against the Vikings. I'm curious, what was the reaction from Viking fans with the way that game went down and the loss?
Well, I mean, it's full freak-out mode every time the Vikings lose a game because of the amount of pressure that's on this team to fulfill its potential, right? I mean, after they signed Kirk Cousins, they put the bar at NFC Championship, Super Bowl, and there's been kind of a tension around the organization since that happened, knowing that if this doesn't work out, then people are going to lose their jobs because of it. So every loss is the end of the world in Minnesota, but you know, there are some good reasons for that after the loss in Kansas City. I mean, namely that you allow a 91-yard touchdown, right? So the defense showing that maybe it's not as good as it used to be, which is a huge problem for the Vikings because that's what they've, you know, had as their centerpiece in the Mike Zimmer era, is having a great defense. And then Kirk Cousins has two opportunities to go win a game, and shocker, against a good team on the road, he doesn't do it. I mean, when Kirk Cousins repeatedly has the same problem of not showing up in big games, doesn't give a whole lot of confidence that this team can really go anywhere. So, yeah, this fan base did not look kindly on that loss to Kansas City last week.
No, and I get it, and I get the expectations for the team. They're getting three down in Dallas. Do they bounce back with a win against the Cowboys?
Well, I think that they can, especially if Amari Cooper doesn't play. I think Dak Prescott is a different quarterback if he doesn't. Amari Cooper is listed as questionable, and he had an MRI on the knee, which doesn't exactly sound like a great sign for him playing. But the Vikings also have key injuries, too, here. Adam Thielen is going to be out. Linval Joseph, their Pro Bowl nose tackle, is going to be out, too, which could be huge. You're going up against, you know, Zach Martin, Travis Frederick on that offensive line, and now they're going to have to go to backups to try to handle Ezekiel Elliott and the runs up the middle. But, you know, I mean, this is a Vikings team that has talent still all over the field, even without Adam Thielen. Dalvin Cook has been playing at an MVP level. And even last week, you guys saw it, that even when your defensive line dominates the Vikings' offensive line, Dalvin Cook still finds ways to make plays. So I think that they're going to need him really to shine and have an MVP-caliber type of performance to win that game. But I also think that he can do it, and the Vikings defense can slow down Dak Prescott. The last time they played Prescott, he had his season low in his great 13-3 rookie year, season low in yards passing. But I think they can slow him down and win this game but it kind of has all the earmarks of one of those that is ultimately decided by a field goal or something like that.
All right, let's turn our attention to the college side. Biggest game for the Gophers against Penn State since when?
Oh, man. I don't know if I'm fluent enough in my Gophers history to go back to the 40s. They did beat Penn State once years ago on a field goal when Penn State was highly ranked, but the Gophers program didn't have the same kind of hype as they do now. I mean, that's the interesting thing here is that it has been a very, very long time since you would have any sort of conversation about the Gophers getting into a college football playoff or national championship or anything like that. If they win this game, though, we're going to start having that conversation. I'm not saying I think that they could actually be in the college football playoff, but at least their name will get brought up if they somehow upset Penn State. I don't know if they will, but you know the way that they've played under P.J. Fleck this year, Tanner Morgan, their quarterback, who wasn't even supposed to start initially, has grown significantly as the season has gone along. They've got two NFL-caliber wide receivers. I mean, this is one where you say, look, if you just show up in this game, if you lose by seven or something like that, it's really going to do a lot for this program and its trajectory, which is already going up.
You mentioned the name P.J. Fleck. His name is coming up, whether it's Florida State or USC. Talk of giving him an extension here. This kind of season will get him really, really noticed. Where's the fear factor at losing him?
So they signed him to a seven-year extension, which means nothing. And it's hard to explain to people how that works. But all it means is now the buyout is going to be $10 million if somebody else wants to bring him in. But that's why this game is kind of important, even for P.J. Fleck, right? His name has been coming up and everything else. But if you hang with Penn State, if you take them to overtime or somehow you beat them, then everybody who needs a coach is going to be looking at P.J. Fleck. And you know, the Florida State thing, I think there's probably a higher chance they look at Fleck than make Deion Sanders their head coach, which seems to be the rumor that's out there. But you know, if you're Florida State and you see a guy who turned a program around like this, a program that was literally nowhere, and now they're playing Penn State in a huge game. If they win that game, then, I mean, you're making that phone call. You're writing checks, aren't you? If a guy has had this effect on multiple programs, I don't think another contract extension means a thing. I think his name should absolutely, deservingly be at the top of many bigger programs' lists. It's just kind of, does P.J. Fleck think it's the right time? Does he think he could do even better with this program? You know, remember, they have a tough schedule coming up, not just against Penn State. So if this thing goes still decently but not, you know, over the top great and they kind of fall apart at the end, you know, maybe he wants to wait and see what happens. But I don't expect Fleck to be around a long time. I mean, he just comes across as the type of guy who wants to be your Dabo Sweeney or your, you know, Nick Saban or something like that. He wants to be in one of those programs. He's that type of guy. But, you know, what he's done here is really remarkable, and he may want to see that through.
All right, Matthew Koa, great stuff, my friend. We always appreciate the time. Have yourself a great weekend.
All right, thanks for having me. It's that New Orleans.
Gus Kattengill, ESPN 100.3 in New Orleans, Louisiana. He's next. Gus, how are you, sir?
Hey, man, doing well. How you doing?
Trying to figure out, I'm doing well, but I'm trying to figure out why LSU is getting six. I get it, Alabama's at home. This seems like, at worst, an even matchup, if not LSU the favorite. The voters have made LSU the favorite, right, by elevating them past Alabama into the number one spot. The bowl committee has LSU in front of Alabama. Can you explain to me why they're getting this many points at Bama with a quarterback coming back from injury playing for the Tide?
Yeah, I think it's eyeball test versus statistical history and what have you done for me lately as in eight straight defeats against Alabama. And I but it's interesting you bring up what you did because the eyeballs tell you this is an LSU team that's different, right? I mean, your eyes have seen LSU play. Texas at the time that it did were a top 10. Florida, Auburn. Those three opponents alone are better than anybody that I've seen Alabama play. So your eyes tell you that. You look at their top three receivers versus LSU's top three receivers. They're darn near identical. Harris versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running backs for each. They're darn near identical. What I would say is those numbers, and if they're identical, have been done, though, against better competition. So I see people that have watched the games, and LSU's been the benefactor of having a couple being called by, you know, Herb Street and nationally, and it's a big game of the week. So I think more eyes have seen LSU play than Alabama gets better competition, I guess is what I'm getting at. But there's that history, and it's eight straight. It's the fact that, what, only five teams have won at Bryant Denny since Nick Saban's been there. So I think that's why that's the case. And look, let's be honest, while there's way more confidence for tangible reasons around these parts than there has been, at the end of the day, until you beat them, that's just what it is. It's, you know, hope, it's belief, it's faith, but until you hang a loss on them, you got to prove that you can beat Alabama.
Yeah, and do you believe that Tua is going to play and play at a high level? What's the word in Louisiana?
You know what? Very similarly, this time last year, right? He was nicked up. He had that ankle injury. Do you remember the touchdown run he had against LSU in which he outran the entire defense? So, look, will he have some mobility issues? Is he going to be sore on Sunday? Yeah. Today's modern technology and, you know, old school shoot it up technology. They're going to find something to help him cope with the pain. So he's going to be able to still make those plays. I think he's going to play, and I think he's Tua. I mean, until he has games that resemble what we saw against Clemson more frequently and often, I'm going to err on the side of he's going to make plays. I think that's where it goes, Warren. When you look at these two teams, it's crazy. In the history of this series and them meeting, you have looked at each defense being the lead figure. And Alabama a couple of years ago went to, hey, our offense has got to produce and do more points. Now LSU finally went that route. And going into tomorrow's kickoff, it's about which defense, remarkably, can get that one three and out, can get that one stop to hold them to a field goal. Because I don't think anybody believes that these defenses are going to keep the offenses from scoring. I don't.
All right, who wins?
I think LSU actually wins. 34-31 is where I'm going. I just think you have a guy in Joe Burrow that, while everybody will be palm sweaty on Friday and Saturday, the ball of nerves, I think this guy can't wait for it. He's rare. He's impressed me in every aspect of it. I don't know if you got a chance to see that Auburn game when he got popped on the sideline, bounced up, and then made four NFL throws, deep back shoulder out routes over the middle, and scored a touchdown drive in that game when momentum was in the Auburn Tigers' favor. That guy I've seen make plays at Auburn last, at Texas this year, against Florida this year. I just think if you're ever going to beat them, remember 2011 was called the game of the century. I'm dubbing this the, for LSU, if not now, then when are you going to beat Alabama? It's the best team they've had going against them. If you don't beat them now, I don't know when you're going to beat them.
All right, what's the latest on Zion Williamson? Timetable still the same?
Yeah, I think there is absolutely zero rush to try to get him back up there and get him on the court. I can tell you from the people that I know that are there at our facilities, you know, on the exercise bike, he's getting full in that rehab. And, you know, David Griffin yesterday saying that he's hit all of the markers and that they're happy with where he's going right now. And now it's just a matter of continuing that process. I think we always thought it'd be early to mid-December. I think it makes sense. If they don't win more games here in the near future, I say you see him in January. Look, I look at this very easily. Wait till he's healthy. Wait till he gets 110%, and then probably give him another week. I think there's no rush to get him on that court until he's completely comfortable, strong, and feels like himself.
Gus Kattengill in New Orleans. Great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Sure, man. Take care, man. What more can I say?
We're welcome to LA. Pete Fox, NBC Sports Radio in Los Angeles, California, is next. Pete, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good.
You got to be doing better than the Chargers. They lose. Rivers struggles. Where is this franchise? They've already fired the offensive coordinator. How long till the coach gets it?
Yeah, there's not a lot of talk about that. Obviously, it keeps getting mentioned. But as far as, you know, if you talk to the people that are inside the organization or people that are close to the organization, there's not a lot of rumors floating about that move because they feel like, let's just get through this season, and if it ends up being an absolute dumpster fire, then we'll fire him and we'll have a new coach going into the new building. They don't feel like it'd be the right move to do it right now. So, I mean, you look at that game yesterday and three interceptions for Phillip Rivers, two more that were overturned because of penalties. He could have had five interceptions in that game. It was very un-Phillip Rivers-like performance for sure. But all that being said, the defense played pretty well and they were in the game right to the final minute. So there were some positives. The biggest thing is that they are getting healthy, which they haven't been all season long.
Okay. Does that so you don't think there's any – I'm not going to say no pressure, right? Every NFL head coach has pressure, but you don't think they're getting close on Anthony Lynn?
No, I think it's a real possibility for sure. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, but just not right now.
Okay, I get it. All right. All right, so tell me what's the latest on the Rams and how they look this go-round. They're a 3.5-point favorite on the road against a Steeler team that seems to be finding itself. I'm a little surprised at that spread. I know Pittsburgh's won some games, but the Rams are supposed to be definitively bigger than this. What is the reason that the spread isn't bigger for this game?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that Cooper Kupp is – I mean, not Cooper Kupp – Jared Goff hasn't been the Jared Goff that we've seen over the past few years. I mean, really, if it wasn't for Cooper Kupp, that he would been he'd be like an also-ran at this point. So that's a very good Steeler defense. He struggled on the road. You know, he's dealing with some injuries as well, not him specifically, but guys on that team. Brandon Cooks is out with the concussion. So, you know, you just don't have the complement, especially along the offensive line, that they had last year. And it's kind of one of those things that you're aware of, but it's not a big story when it comes to the Rams. You know, is Todd Gurley going to play? Is Todd Gurley healthy? That's the story each and every week. So I think it has a lot to do with the fact that it's on the road. It is a very good defense for the Steelers, and Jared Goff just hasn't been the Jared Goff that we've seen over the last few years. He's been really good, but when you watch these games closely, mainly his success is tied to Cooper Kupp. It is crazy. When you look at what that guy has done, if Cooper Kupp has an on game, you know, and even that, he had 220 yards against the Bengals, and they only beat him by two touchdowns. That's the worst team in the league, practically. And they struggled to score a little bit. I know it was in London and all of that. But the Rams are familiar with that process. They've been there the last few years a couple of times. So Jared Goff should give part of his salary to Cooper Kupp.
USC has a new AD. Everybody expects it to be a matter of time before they have a new head coach. Do you agree with that? And if you do, who's the guy going to be?
It's tough. You know, Clay Helton is, you know, it always comes back to, he's a really good guy. He's really friendly, you know, and he goes about things the right way. And he kind of settled the, you know, tumultuous waters there at USC and you know, kind of brought them back to being, I wouldn't say back to respectability, but he cooled things down when things were very hot and there was a lot of controversy. So you got to give him some credit for that. But it just doesn't feel like he has that panache as a head coach to pull off these big wins and bring USC back to being a top 20 football team. I mean, they got shellacked by Oregon and those kind of things. You know, there are a handful of schools, Notre Dame, LSU, Alabama, you know, there are a handful of schools, Michigan, Ohio State, that when you get shellacked by a team in your conference like that, everyone's pointing fingers. And the fact is that USC hasn't been a contender over the past few years. They've just been, they've been okay. They haven't been embarrassing, really. So with all of these little things, it just it feels like there are too many incursions in the stability of the organization, with the team of the school. And, you know, you got to point, someone's got to take the blame. And in this particular situation, it might be unfair, but it's going to be Clay Helton. And, you know, it has felt for a long time like they're going, when the time is right, they're going to go out and find a big-time guy, an Urban Meyer, if you will, someone like that. Now, there's a big question mark hanging over his head as to whether he even wants to coach again. But, you know, they can throw the money at a guy like Urban Meyer and potentially pull him out of being an announcer to a school like USC that can then become the USC that everyone expects them to be. So I think it's going to be a guy like that, and I think it will happen at the end of this season.
Pete Fox in Los Angeles. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, man. Alan Days,
Fort Worth Nights. And Ari Temkin, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Texas is next. Ari, how are you, my friend?
Sarin, I'm great, man. Great talking to you.
Yeah, and it's great to speak with you. Cowboys, you know, get that hard-fought win against the Giants last week. Those are always tough, right? Nail-biters. There with that feisty NFC East the Cowboys have to deal with. But the Eagles are actually kind of getting some traction. And their schedule, as you've mentioned to us a number of times, easier on this second half of the season than the Cowboys. What do you think of the Cowboys coming into this game with the Vikings where they're a three-point favorite?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic here because the Cowboys have absolutely demolished the NFC East. Dak Prescott is 17-5 in his career against the NFC East. They've won six straight against the Giants. They've won five straight against the Eagles. They've won 14, Surin, of their last 16 games against the NFC East. So they've straight up just demolished the rest of the division. The bad news is they won't play the rest of the division until the final 2 weeks of the season when they finish up with Philadelphia and then Washington. So they've got to win some games outside the division if they want to stay in this divisional race. And it starts with Minnesota, who's had a really interesting path to get here. They were destroyed by the Bears, and it looked like everybody was checking out on Kirk Cousins. Stephon Diggs was leaving and wanted out, and then since then they really rebounded and looked pretty credible. It's tough to figure out what kind of Cowboys team we're going to be getting because they really shoot themselves in the foot a ton. Prescott's been really good this year. Their offense has been good, and they, at times explosive. They've just had too many turnovers, fumbles, penalties, interceptions that derailed promising drives. I like the Cowboys to win this game. I just don't know that the Minnesota Vikings have the offensive firepower, especially without Thielen, to keep up with Dak Prescott and this Cowboys offense.
What are we waiting on to see Dak Prescott get a new contract?
I think Dak wanted to maximize his value, obviously, and ask for something north of 35, reports rumored to be around 40. I think that number's come down. I think Dak looks at it and says, all right, what's the annual the annual salary right now? It's somewhere between 32 and 35 million. He can get that this offseason. There's no rush for him to get that now. So there's no hurry because the number that it's at right now, at least that they've kind of figured out, is something that he can get when he wants, and I firmly believe that. So I don't think there's any hurry from his side. I think the only thing he can do is continue to rise that number, and that's what he's hoping to do the rest of the season. But Dak Prescott's going to be with the Cowboys for the foreseeable future. I don't see him hitting free agency. I don't see him coming to a contract impasse. The Cowboys are committed to him long-term, and I think that will happen this offseason.
So it won't be until the offseason that he gets the deal done?
Most likely, yeah. It's interesting because I was told to the people that I talked to inside the Star in Frisco, Texas, where the Cowboys' trade facility is, that this thing would happen before trading camp. All offseason, they're like, oh, it's going to get done before trading camp even starts. Okay. And, it just didn't happen. I think because maybe Dak thought he was taking a cheaper deal or a worse deal and he wanted to prove it this year, and it just sort of never materialized. And Dak's played really well this season. It's funny, he's sort of underrated in terms of where he stacks up the rest of the league in terms of all the analytics when you look at it. He's had a really good year this year.
Is there any news on Cooper?
Cooper's had a ton of lower body injuries. In hockey, it's either an upper body injury or a lower body injury. That's the best way to characterize the season for Amari Cooper. He's played through them. I mean, he's had it wasn't plantar fasciitis. It was some sort of a heel issue that he's dealing with in the preseason. Then he had a knee injury and an ankle injury. And, he's played through it and played through it pretty well this year. He had another touchdown last week, a 45-yard touchdown catch that put this game out of reach last week against the Giants. So, he's going to be hurt all year. He's going to be playing through it all year. And that's, just something the Cowboys are going to have to manage. But we talked about Dak and the explosive offense. Sure, without Amari Cooper, this is not a good offense. It's not an explosive offense. He's
right.
The key to the whole thing.
But nothing new on the contract, yay or nay?
Oh, in terms of contract, I thought you meant injury. No, yeah. And Amari, I think Dak and his people wanted to get something done. I don't think Amari Cooper had any intention ever of signing early. I think he wants to hit free agency. and he wants to see what market value is going to be for him.
Yeah, he may have wanted to have played better to put it off like that. We'll see how that works out, whether or not it pays dividends. I think he'll still get a big check, but we'll see. Cats, K-State getting 7 at UT in addition to Ari's duties at 105.3 The Fan. You can catch him on the Big 12 channel on Sirius. Tell me, Cats plus 7 at Texas, K-State number 16 team in the college football playoff poll, but getting a touchdown against the Horns. In your mind, is this the right number?
Really weird line, isn't it? It was one of those that when it came out, it was like, well, that's going to move, and it hasn't. That's the weirdest thing. In fact, I think it started at 6.5, so it's even moved the other direction as the expectation. And I think this seems like a classic value bet in terms of overvaluing the market, overvaluing K-State, and and undervaluing Texas a little bit. Now, here's what I think. Texas is getting Caden Stearns back. They're getting Jeffrey McCulloch back. They're getting Jordan Whittington back, B.J. Foster. They've had really bad luck with injuries this year, and even worse, they have no depth behind. So they've got young players on defense. They lost those guys. They've had nothing behind them to overcome. They have given up tons of points, tons of yards. We know that. But they should have all of these guys back, and especially Jeffrey McCulloch, the linebacker. This is a really bad linebacking core with the guys they lost last year, and getting McCulloch back this week is going to be a huge, huge boost for them, especially in that run defense, which is going to be huge against K-State, who can effectively run the football. K-State's playing really good, but and Texas is playing really bad, and I just don't see how Texas loses this game. Their season's gone poorly. But if they lose this game, and again, K-State's a really good football team. I'm not trying to downplay that. But if Texas loses this game, this would just completely sabotage their season, and we might even see some firings if they lose this game.
Ari Tipkin in Dallas, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate the time. Have a great weekend.
Be well, sir, and thank you.
Feel good!
Local talk plus national headlines from the people who are there. The 2-Minute Drill on the program with Seren Petro on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
He was there for Montana Magic at Arrowhead.
Back to pass, Montana. Cox his arm. Looks right. No one there. Looks left. Throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Joe Montana has done it again!
He was there for the drought breaker in Houston.
Miles Davis starts the play.
He was there for everything in between.
And it's crazy. This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. It's a terrific race, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, the humanity.
No one knows the Chiefs better. He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
Yes, he is. Adam Teicher joining us here in the program from the ESPN.com. Been covering the Chiefs since 1990. We're broadcasting live today in Lee Summit. Big O Tires rolling out their Black Friday deals early. You can save on oil changes, brakes, car batteries, a lot more. How about tires? You need some new tires? 3 select tires. You buy them, you get the fourth one free with paid installation. Brands like Nitto and Cooper. Interest-free financing is available as well if you've been putting off those new tires. The bad weather's coming, and if you're on bad tires, you're going to be in a bad shape. Don't end up with a big O no. Get to Big O Tires right now and take advantage of the buy 3, get one free. Interest-free financing available as well on approved credit. Your nearest participating Big O Tires can be found at BigOTires.com. Plus, we're registering people to win the Ultimate Tailgate Package, which includes tickets to the local pro team. You know what I'm talking about. Teicher's here to talk about them. A new grill, $100 gift card to do some grocery shopping for everything you want at your tailgate, a night stay at the Embassy Suite, and oil changes and alignment from Big O Tires for a full-on year. We're at Big O Tires in Lee Summit, 1125 Southwest Oldham Parkway. Let's talk to Adam Teicher. He's on our Sprint guest line right now. Adam, my friend, how are you?
Good, friend. How are you doing?
Well, I can't complain. Not at all. First of all, we had so many great people from Lee Summit stop by and say hello, and it's amazing the percentage of them wearing Chiefs gear, and I think they were already wearing it before the word came down about Patrick Mahomes going to be back in there playing. But I do certainly think that, the excitement level has gone up a notch, and this is what you've been reporting all along. I give you credit. You were the first guy I heard reporting that the Tennessee Titan game would be the game that he's back. He is indeed back, and Are you comfortable? I know you've had this story all along, but are you comfortable with him playing? Because it seems like, for whatever reason, there are still people who are not.
Yeah, and you just don't know. You know, that's the thing. I mean, what's the chance that he gets hurt? That's kind of the one thing I wanted to know from him today is what chance is there that you're going to get hurt more beyond just the normal every time you go out there? And he seemed to be comfortable with that. So, we'll see. You know, it could be very well we're talking about after the game. Well, you know what? How did Matt Moore do in his second stint as Mahomes' backup? So, you know, I just don't know. I mean, the Chiefs are comfortable with this, and, this seemed to be going down a faster track almost right away after the injury. So we'll see where it goes from here. But, right now, everybody on that side of it seems to be comfortable with it.
I do appreciate the fact that Patrick Mahomes said, listen, the risk of injury is more with him than it is somebody else because the knee is damaged. He acknowledged mm-hmm. that, which would just be, to me, foolish to not say, hey, this is what it is.
Sure.
But basically, it can't get any worse right now with where it's at. So he's paid to do a job. He's here to do a job. And I think this speaks to the toughness of the guy, but I also flat out think it's the right decision of the football team. You know, everyone's got them just beating the Titans. Like, oh, they don't need him to beat the Titans. Well, the Titans have won 4 games and are 7-1 in their franchise history against Andy Reid. Why do people think this is just a gimme game?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea why. And, I think the way Matt Moore played maybe gave people some confidence that he could do that again. And, the Chiefs could score some points in Tennessee if he was the quarterback. But I don't even see this as a gimme game with Pat Mahomes at quarterback, a healthy Pat Mahomes. You know, Pat Mahomes looking like he does. I mean, I think the Chiefs will win. But I don't think it's a gimme, no.
No, I don't either. And what kind of rust do we expect to have to be knocked off from Patrick Mahomes? If they go down and lay an egg offensively, everyone's going to freak out. They're going to say he shouldn't have played. I will be the one saying I think there's a good chance he was just rusty. Let's see what he does when he comes back in the next game. I know he's been out there practicing to whatever degree he could practice for the last couple of weeks. Is he just a savant at the quarterback position and he's going to pick up right where he left off? Because when every other quarterback was struggling early this year, and granted he may have played a little more, certainly played more than Aaron Rodgers did in the preseason, but he looked like he was in midseason form just to start the year. Does he just not need the reps because he's that good?
I expect there to be some sort of, breaking in period or re-entry period, what you want to call it. I don't think it'll last long. I may be wrong. He might come out firing and the Chiefs score a touchdown on their first, whatever, 2, 3, 4 possessions. I don't know, but I'm not predicting that. But I would put nothing past him. The way he played last year, the way he came out starting this season, I think it's all good with him. So I don't think that's going to be a significant factor. It might be a factor early on, but it shouldn't be, take him more than a few snaps to get back into the swing of things.
Let's talk about the comments of Chris Jones yesterday where he talked about Chiefs fans not selling their tickets. Listen, I think Chris Jones is a great guy. I do not want people to be negative at all for Chris Jones, but I think it was an unwise statement, and I think a somewhat uninformed statement for how the economics of the league work. Has there been any fallout from that today?
Doesn't seem to be. I mean, I didn't talk to him about his comments again today, but, he's just been one of a few guys who have been kind of critical of the fans. And, I get where they're coming from. But on the other hand, these games aren't cheap. And I know people who, and I think we all know people who maybe pay for their season tickets by getting rid of a couple games, maybe a couple of better, more the games where the visiting fans seem to make a demand and, they can pay for their season tickets that way. So, I do think it's a deal where I just don't think it's really well thought through to talk about that. But I do get where the players are coming from as well.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that was a shock. I mean, we don't see that at Arrowhead very often. I mean, when the Packers come through, when the Steelers come through, you know, you see a good amount of visiting fans. But I think that one caught everybody by surprise. I know I was stunned to see how much purple there was in the stadium the other day.
I do think it needs to be a bit of a wake-up call for the organization and maybe for the league as well. Listen, I was on in Nashville this week, and they were talking about how it's like a chronic problem. It's an every-week problem. And Nashville's become a destination. It's kind of like Diet Vegas or something for people to go spend a weekend down in Nashville. And they said, you know, like every game is like that. They brought it up. I said, well, you know, listen, Chiefs players were chastising Chiefs fans for the amount of purple in the stands. So, and we're supposedly the best or top two or three fan bases in the league. I think it has to do with the secondary ticket market as well. I don't think any team is selling 60,000 season tickets anymore. Yeah. They sell season tickets to the secondary ticket market, and they're going to sell it to whoever buys them. And I think Viking fans immediately, and I'm with you, I think it's like Packers, Steelers, Vikings because of proximity, Packers somewhat proximity as well as their rabid fan base, Steelers fan base, they have fans everywhere. Cowboys do a pretty good job of traveling and having fans all over the place. But you know, I think Viking fans circle this one as what a great road trip to go down there and check this out. And, you know, I think that's I think this is the reality of the NFL. If you don't like this, then they need to change the dynamics of how they sell tickets.
Yeah, and I can tell you a story, Seren, telling you where the Chiefs are with these kinds of things. Now, don't misunderstand, because the Chiefs would rather have their stadium full with Chiefs fans than visiting fans. But they'd rather have the stadium full of fans than empty, you know, than only partially full with Chiefs fans. And here's the story. When the NFL or the Chiefs were going to give up that game to Mexico, to London a few years ago, you remember that game that the Chiefs ended up playing in London a couple of years ago.
Right.
The NFL said, this was when Peyton Manning, it turned out to be his last year, he was still playing for the Broncos. The NFL said to the Chiefs, hey, how about when the Chiefs were volunteering to give up a game? And they said, hey, how about giving us the Broncos game? And the Chiefs said, no way. We're not giving up the Broncos. And don't even ask about the Raiders or Chargers either. We've got five other games, and you know, we'll talk about some of those other ones. And they said, okay, how about the Steelers? And the Chiefs said, no, they traveled too well. We want to keep the Steelers at home. And then they said the Bears. And the Chiefs said, no, we want to keep the Bears at home, because they travel so well. So that tells you a little. Chiefs are okay giving up the Detroit Lions game because their fans don't travel like those other teams. So the Chiefs understand that, you know, that there's going to be a market for some of these tickets, you know, by visiting fans, and they don't want to give those kinds of games up. So, again, don't misunderstand me. The Chiefs would rather have the place full with Chiefs fans, but they probably would more likely have a stadium like it was against Minnesota than a stadium half full.
We're talking to Adam Teicher, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. Do they carry three quarterbacks the rest of the way?
I think for now that's probably a good idea. I can't predict what they're going to do down the road. Andy Reid seems to really like both Matt Moore and Chad Henne. So I would think for now that's going to be the way they go. You know, the injury crunch isn't quite what it's been. They won't have to make so many injured guys inactive on Sunday, so they can make a third quarterback inactive if that's what they decide to do. So I think for the time being they're going to do that. I don't sense he's in any mood, Andy Reid, to get rid of a quarterback. Now, maybe if Mahomes holds up well over the next, you know, game, two games, three games, whatever, maybe later on in the year the Chiefs will make a move. But right now that's my sense, is they'll stay with three.
All right. Do you believe in the defense? Are you now sold? Are the last three games enough for you to believe in the D?
I'd really rather see it one more time. And this might be a good time for them to do it this week. I just know I'm not buying in yet. You know, they have played better. There's no doubt. And even against Green Bay, there was a little part of me that said, well, you know what? They got beat by a great quarterback. And you know, if there was anybody besides Aaron Rodgers that night as the opposing quarterback, maybe the defense does play well enough for the Chiefs to win. But I'm not buying in completely yet. I think there's some encouraging signs, and they're getting healthier. And I think this might be another big game for them defensively. But I want to see it before I'm going to declare it.
Do you like their chances for a one seed? I mean, I know they're still in the mix, but two games behind the Patriots' schedule getting a lot tougher now in the second half. The Chiefs getting healthy. I mean, I've mentioned this with Matt Moore. I've talked about this with a number of people, that at 6-3, they're like number 5 or 6 on these power polls. Nobody's, you know, beginning of the year, they were 1 or 2, and all the focus is on them. They're completely kind of under the radar screen and starting to get healthy, and the schedule eases up on them. What do you think about their chances of still grabbing that number one seed?
Yeah, no, that's still in play. I mean, they're 2 games behind the Patriots with 7 to play. And, of course, we know the Chiefs get to go there. I mean, obviously they're going to have to win that game. But then they got to make up 1 game on the Patriots, and I think they can do that. So, yeah, I think it's in play. You know, to me, just getting that number 2 seed is important. I mean, if you're the Chiefs, you'll take that right now and not get greedy and go for number 1 because, you know, I'm looking around the AFC, and I'm just wondering, how many of these teams that look like they're going to make the playoffs do you really want to see in the playoffs? You know, when it's one or win or go home. You know, do you want to see Deshaun Watson again in one of those scenarios? Do you want to see Lamar Jackson again in that scenario? Do you want to see the Colts who beat you up on both sides of the ball physically in that scenario? I just think there's a lot of teams out there that you just would rather. You want to play as few games as possible anyway, of course.
Right.
You know, you can get that bye, you can rest up and all that. But that issue aside, this is not the year to be playing around and having to play 3 games to get to the Super Bowl. I just think there's too many teams out there that, in a one-and-done scenario, are going to be trouble. And so I think getting just the 2 seed right now is real key, maybe for a lot of teams. But particularly for the Chiefs, given the trouble they had against all 3 of those teams earlier in the season.
I never want to have to meet a team twice in the same year. So, no, I don't want to see Baltimore again. And Lamar Jackson does scare the hell out of me. But I got no sweat. I got no problem playing the Colts or Texans again. None.
Well, Houston,
none.
I just feel like that's a team that could score with the Chiefs. You know, normally you see a team, most teams you feel like, okay, the game gets to a certain point level and they can't stay with the Chiefs. I don't feel that way about Houston. I think Houston can score with the Chiefs. That's why I say that, you know, the Texans. I just don't feel like that's a team you want to mess with, again, in a one-and-done scenario.
Stop being a coward, Teicher.
No, I'm afraid of everybody, man. I don't want to go outside my house. I might get hit by a bus. So I might just stay here and not go to Nashville tomorrow.
All right, let's get to our final four. It is brought to you by our friends at the Kansas Lottery. There is a second chance drawing. Did you know that? At the Kansas Lottery. A great opportunity to get yourself to the Chiefs and check out some games with the Chiefs, courtesy of Kansas Lottery. Loyalty players have a chance to win 1 of 2 different giveaways to see the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. In those second chance drawings, visit kslottery.com for more details. Adam, I'll start you with this. Sparty finishes where in the rankings when it's all said and done now that they're already 0-1?
Oh, I thought you were talking about football there. I'm like, what are you talking about here? Okay. in the final rankings, like after the NCAA tournament, I'll take them to go all the way. They didn't look very good the other night. But you know what? They don't look very good usually in November. It takes them a while to find themselves. So I think they'll be a tough out. Hopefully Josh Langford comes back by then. So I'll take them to win it all still.
All right, we're here at Big O Tires where their early Black Friday sales going on right now. Things like buy 3 select tires, get 1 free. How many miles you got on your tires, Teicher?
I had to buy a new car back in, what was it, December of last year. So not that many. You know, okay. I don't know, 8,000, 10,000, whatever it's been since last December.
Okay, it must be nice.
But I'm
upper tax bracket there, Teicher.
There you go.
New wheels all the time. Teicher, one of those buys new every year guy. All right, good to know. Do you like pumpkin flavor? You know, it's the fall. Do you like the pumpkin flavor?
Not a big fan. Not a pumpkin spice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Not a big fan.
So it's going to invite you over to the house, but that's not happening anymore.
No pumpkin beer, please.
No? Okay. All right. I got your back there. Finally, give me your pick on the game. Who wins? What kind of score?
I got the Chiefs 30-20. I think they'll score some points this weekend and play better defensively. So I like the Chiefs to cover, what is it, 5.5? Did I hear that right? I think that's but again, this is a minefield. They're going to have to play well. It may be not as easy as it sounds.
Teicher, I hope you get up the courage to get on that plane and get to Nashville, buddy. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
It might have to be liquid courage, but I'll find a way.
You're the man, Adam Teicher from ESPN, joining us talking Chiefs football. Always great stuff with Adam Teicher. Always great stuff with Big O Tires. I trust my car, my tires, to the guys and gals here at Big O Tires. They do such a great job. We're signing people up for the ultimate tailgate win. We've got a great package. Includes tickets to the local pro team. You know who I mean. A new grill, $100 gift card to buy some groceries for whatever you want out at your tailgates. A night stay at the Embassy Suites, plus oil changes and alignment for a year. From Big O Tires, just come see us here in Lee Summit, 1125 Southwest Oldham Parkway. That's basically the outer road here at 3rd and 50 Highway. We'd love to see you here in the program.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, wrapping up hour number 3 here in the program. Coming up at hour number 4, Kevin Harlan, the great Kevin Harlan, will join us. We're at Big O Tires in Lee Summit. Been at Lee Summit all day as the Zone was here in Lee Summit as well. We've been here since 2 o'clock. You can come on out, take advantage of their Black Friday savings, rolling it out early on oil changes, brakes, car repairs, batteries. You can get it, buy 3 select tires, get one free with paid installation right now at Big O Tires, and they have the interest-free financing available as well. So listen, particularly if your car is your work and you need it to get to work, make sure it is taken care of. Big O Tires will do it. They'll take care of your vehicle like they take care of mine. Great guys here, Daniel, at the Lee Summit location. Be happy to take care of you, but any of the Big O Tires. You can find the one closest to you at BigOTires.com. We've also got the Ultimate Tailgate Package. Don't got to buy nothing. Just come in, sign up. You could win the Ultimate Tailgate Package courtesy of Big O Tires.
End of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, Warren Moon is the Titans / Oilers career passing yards leader. Steve McNair is second. What Hall of Famer is third? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.